It is a great pleasure to have a few moments in studio to speak with a Grammy award-winning pianist. The 2020 Grammys are just behind us, and the winner in the category of Best Classical Compendium went to pianist Nadia Shpachenko. Nadia, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us, and congratulations on the award.
Thank you so much.
The recording is called The Poetry of Places, and I must admit, in reading up through some of the notes and so forth, again, we've been playing this recording for several weeks now, but I was taken, maybe a little bit more in retrospect to what it must have been to develop this towards a Grammy Award-winning recording. And it says, and I quote your notes here, "I discovered a few years ago that this affinity for architectural space is shared by many of the composers that I admire." And it seems that it's a recording that has you as a foundation, but builds with the works of these other composers to create this musical soundscape. Maybe I hope not gone too far into the weeds. What would you say was the creative process behind this?
Well, it was a great collaborative process. I worked together very closely with the composers to create this program, and it was just such a joy to work on this program with these eight wonderful composers, all of whom composed very different pieces. They use different instrumentation, they have different styles, they approached each building that inspired them in a different way. So, for example, some buildings inspired the composers by their architecture, and then some buildings inspired the composers by how they're used, how they function in the landscape of the cities that they're in. And some buildings, for example, the American Visionary Art Museum, inspired the composer Emmy Bess Kirsten by what's inside the exhibit, the Hope exhibit that was at the museum at the time when she was composing the piece. So there are such different inspirations, and we worked very closely with these composers to create this project, and it was just such a great collaborative effort.
Did that level of collaboration go right down to one of the things that you mentioned in terms of the diversity when it came to instrumentation? Did you have ideas as the composition or the inspiration from the architecture was coming into play to shape a work that certain instruments would lend themselves? What was that give and take like?
Definitely. For example, Amy's piece is for piano, toy piano, and voice. I wanted her to write a piece for me that uses my voice, and I'm not at all a trained singer. And so she wrote for my untrained voice specifically, and she's a wonderful singer, and she writes beautifully for voice. And the combination of piano and toy piano was so perfect for that piece because the Hope piece was inspired by the exhibit that featured works by untrained artists who often survived tremendous trauma. And so sort of the untrained aspect relates to my untrained voice and also the use of toy piano, which is kind of the toy instrument. And just the way she took that, and she took that artwork that moved her tremendously, and she created this very poignant, simple, and beautiful and touching piece that allowed me to also express my interpretation through my voice and through playing two instruments at the same time and singing was really magical, just coming up with that. And she, you know, she had the idea of how to relate the art to this piece, and so it's all interconnected. And then there are, of course, pieces for piano solo, but then Jack Van Zandt's pieces for piano and electronics, and that piece is about one of the oldest extant buildings that are existing currently. This building, New Grange, is over 5,000 years old, and it was a building that the composer admired for so many years. It's a really magical building that sort of features, as the composer says, encyclopedia of human knowledge during that time. But it's also amazing because it's astronomically aligned. The way it's built is magical, and we don't know how those people actually knew so much when building this building, how they even built it without the modern tools. You know, the stonework is just absolutely incredible, and it's still standing. And there is a chamber in that building that gets lit up for 17 minutes every year during the winter solstice if it's not cloudy. And it just illuminates this chamber, and thousands of people go every year and try to witness that. So the composer really was able to create this piece through piano and also using electronics. And then there are also pieces for piano solo, but then there is a piece by Andrew Norman that is very fascinating in terms of instrumentation. It's for two pianos and percussion, and the percussion is handmade out of materials that Frank Gehry's house is made of. So he's using chain link fence and sheet metal and wood and basically materials from Home Depot that were made by our percussionist Nick Terry and Andrew Norman into these interesting and very authentic sounding instruments that really conveyed the spirit of Frank Gehry's house. And then another, in terms of instrumentation, interesting piece is Nina C. Young's Colocol, and that piece also has electronics, and the electronics feature the actual sounds of the bells, the Danilov bells, that hang at Harvard University at the Lowell House. And she did field recordings of the bells and also used detuned piano sounds, and then she combined that with the two pianos. And it's just also a very, very interesting sonically piece, and in terms of just structure, and in terms of how the piece holds together, it's just a very unique piece.
The recording called The Poetry of Places, world premiere recordings by several different composers working off of an inspiration of architecture, combining that with the piano artistry of Nadia Shevchenko, and it is the Grammy Award winner for 2020 for Best Classical Compendium. Nadia, it's obviously, as we've been speaking, a very unique project, and I wonder if this is a dream project that you had wanted to be working towards over a number of years to venture into this specific inspiration with these world premiere recordings. Does this come after exploring the music of a Mozart or a Haydn or a Chopin? What has drawn you into this very unique and creative space with these world premiere type composers?
Well, this is definitely a dream project. This project has been a dream from the beginning, just to work with these composers and the collaboration, the collaborative aspect, a few years of living with the pieces and then recording it in one of the world's most wonderful studios at Skywalker Sound, and which is another amazing and inspiring space. And then just working on the visual part of it with the wonderful graphic designer at Reference Recordings, Joanne Nunes, and she just created such a great visual component to this project. So this project, it's not just about the sound, it's also about the visuals, about the inspirations. And the reason it's so special and it's such a dream project for me is I got to work with these composers. To me, this is the most satisfying and rewarding aspect of the kind of work that I do, just working with living composers, helping to bring to life new works of art that I really believe in and that I promote, that I perform, that I familiarize audiences with. And this task of just basically being the advocate for these composers, for these works, is just so rewarding. It gives me so much joy. And just being able to work with the composers and ask them questions, it's so special. I mean, I love playing Beethoven and Schumann and Chopin and Brahms, but I can't ask them questions. Of course, I do a lot of research about the tradition of these works, and they're just genius and incredible works, and I love performing those as well. But here I have this added component of being able to actually work with the composers, ask them questions, and also being the person who sort of sets up this tradition of how these pieces are going to be played. My biggest joy and my goal is always to have these pieces played by a lot of pianists, a lot of ensembles, after I commission and record these pieces, and to make them enter the repertoire. And actually, this has happened to quite a lot of pieces that I have commissioned. For example, one of the very first pieces that I commissioned for my very first big solo world premieres project, the Woman and the New Piano Disc, the piece by Tom Flaherty called Air Dancing, has been performed by many ensembles since then. It really sort of took off, and it's really in the repertoire now, and it's a very original and imaginative piece for piano, toy piano, and electronics, which was the first such combination of instruments at the time when it was written. So always coming up with these ideas of instrumentation together with composers, and then promoting the works, recording them, and then really having other pianists assign these works to their students, performing them themselves, is kind of what's magical for me in this kind of work.
Are these pieces that, as you move on from the release and now the recognition of the Grammy Award for the recording, to taking any of these to the concert stage and adding in or finding a way to bring a visual element to the stage, whether it's a visual created by images of the architecture itself or other inspirational type visual elements because of what inspired the works in the first place. I wonder how this might translate to a presentation within a concert stage of the music itself.
This is a great question, actually. I always have the pictures of the buildings printed in the program in color so people can at least see the pictures. Whenever possible, I also, when I have a screen and I can use PowerPoint, I have the buildings sort of big on the screen so people can see them while they're listening to the pieces. Some of the pieces also have videos that accompany them. For example, Jack Van Zandt's piece has an accompanying video. So sometimes I perform it for piano solo, sometimes I perform it in the piano and electronics version, and sometimes I perform it with electronics and with the video that is synced perfectly to each section of the piece, and it even has the titles of the sections so people can really know what is this each section is about. They can see parts of the buildings that inspired each section of the music. So I often do that. I also have made a couple of music videos. So I made a music video of In Full Sail by Harold Meltzer, and me and the composer together, we filmed it in New York. We filmed the building and we filmed different parts of the building that inspired very specific sections of the piece. The composer was in charge of connecting the parts of the building to the music, and so that was another collaborative process, and people can watch that video and then also kind of see the visual aspect of it, not just listen to it. And also the Aaron Copland house, it's a piece that was composed by Hannah Lash, Give Me Your Songs. So the piece that was inspired by Aaron Copland house has a little video for a part of the piece set to the video of inside and outside of the historic landmark home of Aaron Copland. So people can also see for themselves kind of what inspired the composer and how the house itself looks. And they can, of course, read the program notes. There are very extensive program notes about each piece. And in concerts, people always read them. And often I talk about each piece and the inspiration of each composer. And whenever possible, the composers actually attend the concerts, and so they speak to the audience as well. So it's a great collaborative process where the audiences can learn from the composers through the program notes and actually through them personally when they're there. And then they can also see the pictures and they can also see videos as well. So there is this great multimedia aspect to this project.
A final thought for you, Nadia, with the continued congratulations for the Grammy for this recording. And I wonder, in somewhat bringing it full circle to the fact that this is obviously focused and rooted in these world premiere recordings, but we talked a little bit about the different source of inspiration and where you draw it and enjoying the music of a Beethoven or a Schumann or a Chopin. And I wonder that as, once again, you take these works to the stage or other newer works that you have commissioned, do you find a blending, something within the element of what's being written now with the elements of a piece that was written for the longstanding repertoire for the piano? So as to say that one or two recordings from this might lend themselves or inspire you to say that what would complement it perfectly at a certain part in a program might be a Chopin or a Schumann piece or something by Beethoven, the give and take between the new and the old and how that blends into potentially the performances you give.
Definitely. So very often I perform these programs just in the 21st century versions, but often I combine these new pieces with pieces from earlier time periods by some of the older composers, and I try and combine them thematically. So, for example, this program, The Poetry of Places, exists in two versions. So when I perform, when I go to venues that like to include sort of a variety of musical periods, I perform it in the mixed periods version. So I feature music from the 19th and 20th centuries, in addition to the 21st century compositions that are on my disc. So I actually researched the repertoire, and I found pieces that are also connected to buildings from those periods. So some of the pieces that I play are Franz Liszt, The Fountains of the Villa d'Este, for example, and Debussy, The Sunken Cathedral, and Modest Mussorgsky's The Great Gate of Kiev from Pictures at an Exhibition, and then Villa Lobos, New York, Skyline Melody, and Anton Arensky's The Fountain of Bakhchisarai, which was inspired by a poem by Pushkin about the Palace of Tears in Crimea. So all of these buildings are actually inspired, all of these pieces are also inspired by buildings. And so I perform this program sometimes in this kind of mixed version, and I present music from different periods, but it still has this theme and this connection. And then people can hear a variety of styles from different time periods. So this is very interesting for people, especially who don't just go and listen to music from the 21st century only, who really like to listen to some of the romantic and classical pieces as well. So I try and do this as much as possible. And I perform music from before as well. Like even last week, I performed a Scriabin Etude, for example, and then also a piece by Jack Van Zandt, the one from the CD, and the premiere of a new piece as well. So I try and combine as much as I can as well. But whenever I can, I also play just the 21st century pieces, just because I love to play as many of those as possible and can fill a program. If I can fill a whole program with just 21st century pieces and the audience is adventurous enough to want to hear just the 21st century pieces, I do that the most, I would say.
The world premieres here on the recording The Poetry of Places have taken you, Nadia Shpachenko, to a very unique and special place, that is a Grammy Award-winning artist for 2020, Best Classical Compendium, the Grammy Award-winning recording, The Poetry of Places. Nadia Shpachenko, congratulations again on the award, and very exciting to think about all of these presentations and unique offerings, not only inspired here, but the musical adventures and explorations that will be to come. Such a joy to talk to you today, and thank you so much for giving us this time. And again, congratulations on the Grammy and best as you move forward.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure talking to you about this program.